Hello, welcome back, everyone, to the BioNexus Health podcast series. Today, this applies for everyone, all age groups, and all the patients that I see in my practice. Now, many people have appreciated the podcast that I did on biotoxin illness. You know, it highlights the weight gain issues that come with environmental toxin exposure. It talks about the leptin receptor inflammation and damage that is caused in the brain, as well with environmental toxin exposure, and the endocrine imbalances that can, you know, the hormonal imbalances that can result from that. And one of the most important things that I see in my practice, again, unfortunately, in all age groups, due to environmental exposure, is diabetes. So let's talk a little bit more about mold exposure, biotoxin illness, and diabetes.
Welcome to the BioNexus Health Podcast with Dr. Jodi A. Darshaw, who holds a PhD in integrative medicine, is board certified in integrative pediatrics, an internationally recognized pioneering clinician, and author. And now here's your host of BioNexus Health Podcast, Dr. Jodi A. Darshaw.
Okay, so today, I shall discuss the two different types of diabetes. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to divide the podcast into three parts, and each part will be released on its own separately for better understanding. So we'll talk about type 1 diabetes, we'll talk about type 2 diabetes, and then we'll talk about prevention strategies. Good? Okay. Now, one of the most frustrating things a practitioner can experience is seeing a patient unnecessarily develop an illness that could easily have been prevented. Now, unfortunately, I see this quite often in my practice, as many patients that come to me have been exposed to mold and do have biotoxin illness, and, you know, just unawares. And that has not been treated because they were not aware of the devastating effects. What is diabetes? Diabetes is a metabolic disease in which the body is unable to produce adequate amounts of the hormone insulin. Insulin allows sugar to move from the blood into the body's cells. Therefore, insufficient insulin can cause elevated blood sugar levels. Diabetes can also be caused by what is known as insulin resistance. Now, this is a condition in which the body produces enough insulin, but insulin receptors are unable to properly utilize it. This also results in elevated blood sugar, of course. So as I mentioned earlier, there are two types of diabetes. Type 1, often called as juvenile diabetes, and type 2 diabetes, referred to as adult onset diabetes. Let's get into type 1 diabetes for the first part of this podcast. All right, so diabetes, which occurs when the pancreas fails to produce any insulin. That's type 1 diabetes. In these cases, a patient must be given insulin or he or she can die from the complications of lack of insulin due to hyperglycemia, which means too much sugar. Type 2 diabetes can occur when the pancreas does not produce enough insulin or when insulin receptor cells fail to bind to enough insulin. I just wanted to give, you know, a brief overview of the type 2 diabetes, and we will get into it in the next part of the protocol. I mean, of the podcast. I'm so used to protocol. Anyways. You know, we eat food to provide our bodies with energy. The process starts with digestion of food into a simple sugar called as glucose. When glucose levels rise, a signal is sent to the beta cells in our pancreas to release insulin, correct? To release insulin, which allows the glucose that is circulating in the bloodstream to enter cells, initiating energy production within these cells. All right, make sense? Now, when things are working smoothly, everything is okay, appropriate amounts of insulin is released into the bloodstream, and this brings down glucose levels. Cell machinery in our cells then creates a compound, very important compound, known as ATP or adenosine triphosphate. Now, adenosine triphosphate is the body's energy storage molecule. But, you know, so this happens if things go smoothly. Now, if a person has diabetes, then things don't work so smoothly, right? Now, type 1 diabetes is pancreatic failure. As noted earlier, I spoke about this a little bit earlier, that in type 1 diabetes, the pancreas fails to produce the hormone insulin. So what happens then? The food is digested, but there is no insulin available to help our cells take up this circulating glucose. Now, if untreated, type 1 diabetes can lead to severe problems, you know, including death. Most cases of type 1 diabetes occur in children. And usually, I mean, you know, nowadays you don't really see the ultimate complication, you know. Death from diabetes is quite rare. It is very well recognized by all healthcare practitioners, you know, right at the grassroots level. People know about diabetes. Pediatricians, of course, you know how to handle diabetes. So it's not like a gloom and doom scenario at all. Now, type 1 mostly occurs in children, but it can occur at any age. Now, there's no clear-cut single cause of type 1 diabetes, but there are many factors known to damage the pancreatic ability to produce and secrete insulin. Type 1 diabetes is thought to be an autoimmune illness in which the body's immune system actually destroys the beta cells in the pancreas that produce insulin. This is, you know, autoimmunity's friendly fire. Conventional medicine does not really have a definitive answer for what is causing the rapid rise of type 1 diabetes. You know, there are some fantastic treatments available out there, of course, but I believe in root causes. In treating the root causes, of course, you know, in identifying and treating the root causes. Studies have shown that viral infections can trigger the immune system to destroy pancreatic beta cells. Studies have also shown that Lyme disease patients can have higher incidence of autoimmune diseases. Studies have also shown that the innate immune system can get stuck on repeat and engage in friendly fire with mold exposure and biotoxin illness. So all of this, you know, is new body of information that we currently have. Many practitioners who are trained in what is needed have this, arsenal in their tool belt, which is very helpful to help patients recover. having another autoimmune disorder, like many patients with Lyme disease can get, can get Hashimoto's, Hashimoto's thyroid issue. Children can get PANS, PANDAS. Now, both of these, Hashimoto's, PANS, are autoimmune conditions. Many children I see in my practice, or even many adults, can get the adult version of PANS, especially after COVID, especially the adults who've had COVID. We are seeing a lot of them having the adult version of PANS, where there is anti-neuronal antibodies attacking the brain, as well as other autoimmune antibodies attacking different cells in the body. So you can have PANS, PANDAS, Hashimoto's, autism, biotoxin illness, all in the same child. One example. Okay. Now, if there is any other autoimmune disorder and you don't watch your diet, which I will be speaking of a bit later, and other factors are not controlled, then there is an increased risk of developing type 1 diabetes. There is one more theory that I like that has been reported actually for more than 25 years, is that early introduction of dairy products into a child's diet sometimes may trigger an autoimmune response that increases the risk of type 1 diabetes. You know, we have tests that the Quadro study or the folate receptor antibody tests that are available. We have many food sensitivity tests that are available. Many children are born with mold toxins or Lyme disease. So all of these children are not only at a greater risk for autism, but they are also, and in autism, not just autism, but autism spectrum disorders, but also at a higher risk of type 1 diabetes. In Finland, researchers have studied the relationship between infant feeding patterns and the risk of type 1 diabetes. About 690 children, ages like 15 and younger with type 1 diabetes were included, and the authors found the risk of the disease increased 1.5 times in children who quit breastfeeding at less than 2 months of age. Scientists also found the risk of type 1 diabetes doubled in children introduced to dairy products at less than 2 months of age. All right, now additional analysis of the data was found that introduction of dairy products early was the most important risk factor of type 2 diabetes as well. And the duration of breastfeeding effect positive effect was explained by correlation to the early use of dairy products. And there was one other study that was done that found 63% higher risk of type 1 diabetes in infants exposed to cow's milk before 4 months of age. So the first study talks about before 2 months, this study talks about before 4 months. But, you know, one would wonder, how could cow's milk cause an increase in type 1 diabetes? Remember, many infant formulas contain cow's milk products. Just some food for thought, right? It's not that you're literally giving cow's milk, but, you know, many formulas contain dairy. Now, the mechanism isn't fully understood, but a direct correlation, you know, studies have shown a direct correlation between diabetes and consumption of cow's milk from certain genetic strains of cows. Now, others believe, you know, that's why they say that A2/A2, cow's milk is supposed to be the best. In India, they are called as Gir cows, like Gir or Gir, G-I-R, Gir cows. And elsewhere, they are known as A2/A2 cows. Another name would be Guernsey cow as well. In Europe, they are known as Guernsey cows. In the US, they are known as Guernsey cows. So A2/A2. Now, others believe, other studies have theorized and studied that the pasteurization of milk, which alters the protein structure at high temperatures, can lead to an autoimmune response that triggers the destruction of beta cells in the pancreas. Okay. We know that children on the spectrum and many people, adults as well, with or without mold exposure, Lyme disease, you know, even without any of these, they have trouble digesting cow's milk. In my client population, right, in my patients, in my practice, I found more than 80% exhibit sensitivity to the primary protein found in cow's milk called casein. Again, food for thought, right? And when I say 80%, I don't mean 80% of children with autism. I mean 80% of all age group patients that I see with various diagnoses. So I don't think dairy products should be given to any child that is less than a year old. Sometimes when there is extreme distress, camel milk, since camel milk is very similar to breast milk, and it has other health benefits, it does not coagulate in the stomach. It does not have the beta casein issues that other ruminant milks have. So I have counseled a few new mothers, quite a few new mothers, to transition safely to camel milk. You know, and I'm talking, you know, really severe cases where the child has been born with a mold biotoxin illness or Lyme disease, has a lot of gastrointestinal issues, very heavy leaky gut upon doing labs, eczema, extremely picky eating, cannot keep anything down, anything and everything is difficult to digest. All different kinds of organic formulas have been tried, you know, so that's the kind of scenario that I'm speaking about. But bottom line, you know, as I wind down this section on type 1 diabetes, I don't think dairy products should be given to any child less than 1 year old. That's been my clinical experience. That's been the research studies that I have looked at, you know, that's what the research studies have talked about as well. One of my mentors talks about this. A couple of my mentors have spoken about this as well. You know, it is also best for young women to be analyzed for sensitivity to casein and just, you know, checking your levels of antibodies to casein, getting those tested before becoming pregnant. Now, if you find elevated casein antibodies, the IgG levels, then it would be prudent to avoid all dairy products when pregnant. Just some of the clinical tips that I wanted to share with you. Many of you know that I have one of the services I provide, and I help the mothers in my practice and the ladies in my practice, is with the preconception testing, detoxification, evaluation. It becomes very important for many, and many are many mothers to be are realizing the importance of detoxification before becoming pregnant. So feel free to reach out with any questions you may have about preconception, detoxification, testing, looking at what's going on in your body, so we can have the best possible outcomes for the babies being born, right? Okay, great. So this part, you know, this podcast, I will end here. The next podcast will, of course, be getting into type 2 diabetes. And after that, we will speak about the best lifestyle changes to help with, to help prevent, because prevention is better than cure, isn't it? All right, so I'm glad you were able to join me today. I look forward to seeing you on the next BioNexus podcast. Keep smiling, and I'll see you soon. Namaste.
Thank you for joining Master Herbalist Dr. Jodi A. Dashaw, Director of the BioNexus Health Clinic and BioNexus Herbals, on the BioNexus Health Podcast, where we explore and share information and stories about recovering and healing from chronic and environmental illnesses such as mold biotoxin illness, Lyme disease, autism spectrum disorder, fatigue, Crohn's and colitis, mast cell activation syndrome, PANS, and more. Please help us grow our message by subscribing to our podcast channel and sharing the podcast on your social networks. For more information, visit bionexushealth.com.
Information within this video, audio, or text, collectively known as the podcast, has not been reviewed by the FDA. Nothing within the podcast is intended as or should be construed as medical advice. Information is for general informational and educational purposes only. Consumers of the podcast should consult with their healthcare practitioners for medical recommendations. Seek the advice of a qualified healthcare provider. Do not disregard the advice of a healthcare provider based on any information from the podcast. The information within the podcast may contain information concerning dietary supplements or over-the-counter products that are not drugged. Our dietary supplement products are not intended for use as a means to cure, treat, prevent, diagnose, or mitigate any disease or other medical or abnormal condition.